Sermon this evening comes from Psalm 103. We'll also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look at not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you still speak, that your word endures forever, that you speak the words of life to us this evening, that you bless us with life, that you bless us with light, that our inner man is renewed day by day. So please bless us now as we come and as we sit at your feet expectantly, waiting for life, waiting for truth, waiting for renewal, that you would be glorified in our lives. Help us now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We used Psalm 103 for our Frontier Club, our after-school program, and one of the teachers came to me and asked the question, so how do we explain our diseases? He heals them all. How do we answer that? Because in each of our lives, we will face sickness and illness and disease. In each of our lives, most of us have had loved ones who have faced sickness and illness and disease. One of our good brothers, Steve Miller, as he was ill, his whole life, he was afraid of ALS. He had seen a dear family member have ALS, live out their life, and eventually die what we would describe as a sad and gruesome death. And he never wanted that for himself. And then the prognosis for himself one day was ALS. He and his wife worked to find the healthiest things that they could do for treatment. Nothing worked. Nothing saved him. And our dear brother, who had been a missionary to Eritrea and lived a faithful life as a faithful husband and pastor, died the exact gruesome death that he had feared his entire life. And yet, we look at the scripture, forget none of his benefits, he who heals all of your diseases. You and I, we have our fears. Each of us are afraid of different things. Most of us are afraid of dying in various ways. There's things that we would never want to experience. Each of us have our fears and our relationships with our loved ones. Things that we would never want to see them face or go through. And if we look at the history of the church, in each generation and various continents, people have faced the most gruesome things that none of us would wish on our worst enemies. So we come to this place that could be a place of fear and terror and dread. And yet David, as he was carried along by the Spirit of Christ, made these statements: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not Him who pardons all of your iniquities. Forget not the one who heals all of your diseases. Forget not the one who redeems your life from the pit." We come to a place where we actually have to be willing to say, "I'll give up everything. Everything." Jesus described and had made the statement, if you are not willing to hate father, mother, son, daughter, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. If you're not willing to lay up or lay down your own life, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. You see, there is this great exchange in life where we give up the life that we thought we could have, and we have given up our own desires and our own dreams and our own expectations, and we say, "Christ, what you have for me, I will take. You are enough." Many of us have been in the situation where the thing that you thought you needed, the thing that you wanted most, was taken. And we have to come to the place where we say, "Jesus is enough." It is in our sorrow and in our affliction we bless the Lord. And in that place of weakness, we find that strength and that encouragement that we see in verse 5, and we mount up with wings like eagles. So our first step this evening, as we look through and as we understand that each of the benefits that we have, they are Jesus. Jesus is that benefit in our lives. Verse 3. We can add, "He who pardons all of your iniquities, He who heals all of your diseases." In what sense does He heal your diseases? Now, if we go into the spiritual realm here and we go to the place when we consider that our sin, that is the corruption of our inner man, is our chief disease and our chief worry and our chief concern. Paul in Romans chapter 7, when he was talking about sin going on in his life, "The thing I desire to do, I don't do, but I do the very thing that I hate." And he comes around to the place and he says, "But it's not me, it's sin in me." I've read that and I thought, wow, that sure sounds like a cop-out. If my children disobeyed and I was on the edge of disciplining them and I asked them for an explanation and they said, "It wasn't me, but the sin was in me. How could you punish me when it wasn't me, but is the sin within me?" It's not a cop-out though here. What we're looking at here, he's saying, it's the corruption in my heart. It's not the identity of who I am. I'm in Christ. And he explores that in the next chapter. He shows that his identity is in Christ. He's been rescued. He's been united to Christ. And yet there's this corruption that remains. And we're in a much better place when we look at ourselves that way and say, okay, there's this corruption, there's this black vein in my heart still that has to be dealt with. And Christ deals with it. The benefit is He who heals all of your diseases. Now, I'm struck because this attaches to Isaiah 53:5, and when I see this, I would want to think physically. I would want this to be the reality physically. I would not want my parents to die. I would not want a disease to overtake them, and yet that is the reality. I would not want anyone I love to die from a disease. I would want to be able to say, He heals all of your diseases in this life. But Isaiah 53:5, by His wounds you were healed. Peter takes this, and Peter's being carried along by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. So this healing that we're talking about here is much more important than being cured of ALS. It's much more important than being healed of cancer. We can postpone death for a time. We can think back to the King of Israel who was on his deathbed and was pleading, and he doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die. And God says, all right, 15 more years or something like that. So 15 years goes by, and then there he is at death again. So, was it worth it? I don't know. It's postponed. We saw Moses pray for the Israelites that they wouldn't be killed. And then, okay, God didn't kill him right then. And He gave him 40 years and picked them off one at a time. Over 40 years. Disease is going to come. Death is going to come. Your chief concern, though, is your eternal life. He heals from the cross, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. And I bring you again, and I suspect this is going to come out in my ministry all the time. Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. This is the healing of the corruption in your heart, and this is a great benefit. Our second step, I think you might have just a little line there, is redeems. And this is set your heart on the One who lifts you out of the pit. Psalm 103:4, who redeems your life from the pit. This is why we sang Psalm 40 this evening. In what sense have you been lifted from the pit? Well, you who have or do work out in the world, you hear the chatter of the ways that people live. You hear the corruption. You hear their false hopes. You hear of the things that they would draw to themselves, the paths that they would explore to find their pleasure, to find their joy, to find their own version of redemption. And we also know from Scripture that these pursuits are death. They're misery. They're pain. They are corruption. Colossians 1:13 again gives us this idea that He transitioned us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved Son, the kingdom of light. Maybe you've had a bad boss. You know, an oppressive boss. You've been in that kind of situation where you're under the authority of a terrible person who doesn't care for you at all. it's just a small piece of what it's like to be in Satan's kingdom. Satan, in his kingdom, is about your destruction. He comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He makes all these little promises to give you joy and to give you peace, but he brings you death. This is why we sang in Psalm 42, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. When are your footsteps firm? Your footsteps are firm when we look at Psalm 85, verse 13, that righteousness goes before him and he has turned his footsteps into a way. Your footsteps are firm when you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the ways in which he lived and you commit yourself to walking in those steps of humility. He laid down his life, and these firm footsteps, ironically, look like laying down your life. It is so counterintuitive to be giving up your rights and to stop seeking to preserve your own life. Our next step is crowns. And this is set your heart on him because of his unfailing love and compassion. What does it look like to be crowned with loving kindness and compassion? What do you think of if you think of a crown being placed on someone's head? You know, in the States, we don't really have that going on. The closest we might have is a prom king and queen, which let's not even bother with that. But in other lands and in other realms or in other times, this crown would be placed on someone. And it was this picture of majesty, beauty, honor, strength, and dignity. It has majesty and honor and strength been placed on you in some sense? Here the scripture says he crowns you with loving kindness. Another way to say it is he crowns you, he places on you unfailing love. He crowns you, he places on you his covenant faithfulness. You are adorned with eternal beauty. Bless the Lord, my soul, my whole heart, forever bless his name. And forget none of his benefits. He who crowns you, who makes you beautiful with loving kindness and faithfulness and with compassion. Can you see wearing these things as beautiful, as a benefit that is eternal? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen, the beauty of this life, for example, is temporary. But the unseen is eternal. Our next step is satisfies. Set your heart on the one who gives you good. Verse 5. Who satisfies your years with good things. Alright, now maybe some of you are saying, when? Right? When? When is he going to satisfy my years with good things? I've told the story before of this manager I had when I worked at a particular place. I'll spare you that for right now. Now, he was this enormous man, so overweight that was the first thing you noticed about him, that anybody would notice about him the first time they laid eyes on him. And one day he and I were talking and he said, back when I was skinny, and I was shocked because his identity was so much in being this giant I said, when were you skinny? He said, in high school. He said, I didn't have any friends. And I thought it was because I was fat. And he said, so I worked real hard and I lost all of this weight. And I thought then people would like me. He said, it turned out it wasn't because I was fat they didn't like me. They just didn't like me. Now, I recognized right away and asked him who he wanted to be friends with, and it was the jocks in the school. He was looking at this elite crowd and was wanting to be with these people, thinking that that was where he would arrive. And I said, you would have fit in at my lunch table no matter what you looked like, buddy. He was looking to be satisfied in a particular way, in a particular place that wasn't worth going for. We look at the nature of our sin, the things that we are pursuing. We look at the nature of it in the ways that we want to be satisfied with our sin. But we've got our eyes set on the wrong goal at that point. We're asking, when will you satisfy me with good? But you've already been given the good. We have our eyes set on the wrong place when we are unsatisfied. We have our eyes set on those things that are temporary. Those things that will not last. Those things that cannot last. But when we see that He is our benefit, we will be satisfied. Our years will be satisfied with good things. Because He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. He does this work and is doing this work, healing the corruption that is in our hearts. We have these benefits even now. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Will you have evil in your life? Yes. Are you going to have people hurting you? Yes. Again and again and again. But when our eyes are set on the eternal picture, and Joseph is this amazing picture of this. In the older covenant, Joseph's brothers were horrible. They were horrible. They grabbed him, they threw him into a pit, they sold him into slavery, and then when he comes face to face with them and has the power at that point to kill them, rather than responding in that way, Joseph speaks to them. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. Are people hurting you? They will. They're not now. They will. Even if they mean evil against you, God will take those circumstances. If you are responding in the eternal way and use it for good, you will suffer. You will suffer. There was a time in my life when I was first saved, and this strikes me as obnoxious at this point, but people would, if they asked me how I was doing, I would say, pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I didn't know what pressed was. I didn't know what persecuted was. I didn't know what struck down was, other than physically at that point. And eventually, when I read through what Paul really went through, I said, oh, okay, being shipwrecked a night and a day in the sea. Oh, being stripped naked. Oh, being beaten. Oh, being stoned. All of these things is what pressed, struck down, crushed looks like. But we see that even these things, God will use for good. Paul calls those things light and momentary troubles that will achieve an eternal glory that far outweighs all of these persecutions. I'm inviting you to see your trials and your pains in this light. Now, I noticed in your outline the last step was missed, and since you've been so good, I'm going to give you your last step. This is number 5, which is be strong and courageous. Psalm 103:5. He who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. This fools the minds. Isaiah 40:30-31. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That sounds really good to me as somebody who loves distance running. But let's go ahead and put this back in the context of 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying. Some of us, a lot of us are young enough that we haven't felt this yet, maybe. Some of us are starting to. Some of us have been feeling it for a while. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. There's a beautiful hope for you. Though a disease may be on you, though the circumstances of your life are nowhere near what you would have planned for yourself, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction, remember that in the context of Paul's life, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and we'll say temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the place of embracing faith. That hope and expectation, that conviction of things that are not seen. You have to have that in your life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And I'm inviting you to that place. To command your heart. To command your innermost being to bless the Lord through your affliction, through pain and disappointment and decay, through betrayal, and to forget none of His benefits, because His benefits are Jesus Christ. It's He who redeems your life from the pit. It is He who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. It is He who heals all of your corruption. And it is He who will raise you up with new strength. Though your outer man may be rotting away, He will renew you with new strength day by day. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And be eternally strengthened. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for the benefits in Christ Jesus. We thank You for the benefits that are Christ Jesus. Strengthen us each. Renew us in the midst of our trials and our pains and our disappointments, in the midst of our persecutions. Renew us with new strength, God, that we will lay down our lives for You, that we will love in your name, and we plead with you to satisfy our lives with good things, things that are eternally good, that we would see repentance in ourselves and repentance in our loved ones, that we would see true love and kindness and grace adorning us, that we would be beautiful as you have made us beautiful as we live and walk in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.